I'd like to thank my team for this. Doug Holland is here today. He's in the back. And also the other guys that I work with, Phil Glagoza, Russ Severson, they're my colleagues up in Minnesota. And the Minnesota producers that helped us with this, these are all field scale research plots that we did. And the manufacturers, some of them loaned us some of this equipment, and definitely the support from the Minnesota soybean growers. They backed us very well on this. So our farmers, I mean, why do we roll? In northwest Minnesota, it kind of started because we have a lot of rocks. We're in glacial till soils, and they have a lot of rocks. And we don't have as many teenagers anymore to pick those rocks. So they use these big flat rollers. If you look here, this one's about 45 feet. And they range anywhere from 30 to 60. 45 is kind of the standard. And these push down about this size rocks. Anything bigger than that, they're going to have to go out and pick them. And by doing that, then they're able to set the head low on the combine and be able to pick up the lowest pods on the plant. And so there's a perceived yield benefit for doing this. The other thing that it does is it not as much soil is coming into the combine. And so the guys with seed beans, you do get docked for dirt, and sometimes you can be rejected for having dirt in your beans. And I can say dirt in that situation. And less wear and tear on the equipment. We have less sickles that are being broken, less rocks coming into the combine head. And it's just an overall ease of harvest. So we call it harvestability. And it improves the seed bed, especially if you can go out a few days before you plant. It kind of makes a consistent seed bed, so the water wicks into there more evenly, and you get a nice germination. This is a perceived effect. And due to all this, it also breaks up the corn root balls, like this one here. I like this picture. This is one that's been rolled. This one hasn't been rolled. And some of the guys go in before planting so that they can break these up and get the planter through here. This side has been rolled. This side has not been rolled. Again, where they've missing beans because the combine head has to come up off the ground. So they're missing those lowest pods. So a lot of them were saying, we did a turning point at our winter meetings, and we found about 75% of the guys like to roll right after planting. But their question was, well, what if we can't get into the fields due to, soil moisture and rain events and things like that? How late can we roll and not have a yield effect? And it's like, good question, let's find out. And so we wanted to look at the agronomic and environmental impacts, because that was another question. Okay, if you roll these fields that flat, does it increase wind and water erosion? And we wanted to see how late we could go out there rolling and start looking at yield effects. So what we did is it's a three-year study. 08 was a big learning curve. And so, lining up the producers and the equipment, and like the first year we asked them to roll, all the way up to V3, the third trifoliate, and they said, sure. And then when it came to V3, they said, are you kidding? We're like, yeah, we kind of need your help. So we did like one replication, so it couldn't be in the stats, just to prove to them it didn't really affect yield. So we looked at pre-plant, post-plant, at emergence or cracking stage. So when they're just starting to break the soil, we're thinking that's a pretty bad time to be out there, because if you break that, that plant is gone. And V1 and V3, and compared that to not rolling at all. And we got a lot of those numbers, or that timing from NDSU. They had done a study in 03 and 04 looking at that. 04, too bad they had a really dry year and didn't really get much yield data out of it. But 03, those were the timings that they used. The other thing that they did was the difference between AM and PM rolling. When the plant is more turgid in the morning, so it's easier to snap. So we had all of our farmers roll in the later afternoons when the plant was a little more wilty, and that worked out a lot better. These are our sites that we have across Minnesota over the 3 years. Our materials and methods were, we like to look at the stand count, the injury count, yield, and seed quality characteristics. Those are the ones that I'll report today. And in the interest of time, also, that we did residue decomposition in 09. And in 9 and 10, we did water infiltration and runoff data. And we put this on a 3% and a 6% slope looking at rain simulations. That data is still being analyzed, so I won't be presenting that today. And they were in a randomized complete block design, 3 replications. While we like 4 replications, when you have a 60-foot roller and you have 18 treatments, you run out of field very quickly, even in our flat areas. So this is where what they look like. You can see, you know, where they've rolled and not rolled. Here you can see it's rolled. This area is not rolled all the way across. We used field size equipments, whatever the farmers owned. And we had different ones out there. We would have like a Flexicoil Packer, either a double or a single. We had a Brillion out there 1 year. It has little notches on it. It's also used for alfalfa germination there. And then a lot of them were the smooth rollers, different manufacturers, but very similar rollers. The minimum plot length was 500 feet, and everything was done with a combine and way wagonette at harvest. So we went out there for injury counts, and so we have here we have that if you have an LSD at 5%, it's about 2% difference here is significantly different in 09. Our question is, well, how can pre-plant, post-plant have injury when the plants weren't up? But that's called field research. So, but in 2010, it definitely, that's more of the numbers that you would expect to find. And this one here is significantly different. Two of the four sites did show a significance in injury. The other two did not. In our fields, we had different levels of residue. And observationally, residue really, except for in the no-till plot, but the ones that had like 45-50% residue, it seemed to kind of cushion when the roller would push down the plant, kind of help the plant from snapping. But we had different problems in the no-till. Our populations, we have them in U.S. terms and the metric in there, in the light gray. So our pre-plant, post-plant, all of them, they were no statistical difference in our populations. And with soybeans, even if we knocked them down 30,000 plants, we probably wouldn't have seen much of a yield hit anyway, because they're really good at compensating. So here we have 158,000 down to 150,000, although these are not statistically significant. 2010, same thing. We had a few lower ones, but not significantly different. Remember, these are across large fields that we're doing. These aren't small plots. This is what it looked like at emergence. You have the little plants. I like this one because it shows how this is being protective of this plant. Also, where the planter had gone, if it left a little ridge, it actually kept the roller up high enough that, you know, we thought we'd have a lot more injury at that stage than we did. And we did have some injury, like here, you know, you could see that it snapped the cotyledons off. This is at V1, so it would, you know, it also depends on the roller, but it would snip it here. If it snipped just a leaf off, we didn't count that as injury because it wasn't going to be threatening to the plant. If it snips it off below the cotyledon, it will kill the plant. So if it snipped it up here, it was going to branch off later. And that's where the farmers say they're getting their yield, is that, you know, a good defensive bean needs to be knocked around a little bit before it will perform. I'm not sure. This one here, you can see that they're snipped off here. This is V3. This is what they look like directly after rolling. They look pretty sad. Average soybean yield, well, the bottom line is not significantly different either year. And that's what they found at NDSU. And Iowa did one this year too, where they went out to V6. And up to V3, they had no significant yield loss either. And in the V6, they did. That's where they were starting to see the hit. So here you can see they're very, very similar across these sites. And also the protein, oil, and test weight were non-significant for all of these too. So, but we did see some problems over the 3 years. We had a lot of different weather regimes over these 3 years. And we definitely had a greater risk for soil sealing. And one of my sites, well, it's the toilet bowl site, I call it, because it's kind of all round and it all drains to the middle. And that's where our plot was right in the middle. And he called me up and he said, we had a big thunder boomer right after emergence and the field's gone. And I'm like, gone? Oh, great. So we would go out there and only 8 of the 18 were gone, and only parts of them actually. Here it is here. This area has been rolled. This area has not been rolled. It made a huge difference. It sealed the soil, and then when the rain came and it couldn't infiltrate, and those plants drowned. So, but this is a small percentage of the field, and it's probably a risk that they're going to take. This is the other problem that we've had in the last two springs. We've had some really extreme wind events. Like in 09, it was sustained winds at like 30 miles an hour for over 2 days in our area. and this is a rolled field here. You can tell them very easily when you go by a rolled field. And they can have the residue blows to the end of the field, and then you have large round bales being made up at the end of the field. And it could be quite extensive. One of the guys said he had 18 large round bales at the end of his field. We only have observational data if soil's moving with it. So, but this is one of those days out there. And then here, the cracked stem, when the plants are up, if you crack that stem, there's a potential to increase the risk for disease to enter into that plant. We did see in one of the V3 plots in 08 where they were lodged at harvest, and one of the plots was goosenecked, but it never came to yield. So these, I have a whole new respect for soybeans after we did this to them. The summary is that the plant injury was increased. The later you went out there, you know, the taller the plant was, the more that you would injure that plant. That makes sense. Population was not significantly affected. Yield was not significantly affected in our trials, and the seed quality characteristics were not affected either. Now, we didn't go out and pick pods. What happens is, you know, we didn't have to roll or combine late at night when we're tired. We didn't have to go on uneven ground where the head, you know, is up a little bit higher than what we would like. Our farmers put the head to the ground and went. If they saw a rock, they picked up the head, set it back down. So you're missing yield in this small little section. Where other farmers raise the head because they're tired, they cannot keep watching that combine head the whole time, so they are missing more. Okay, we did not pick those up in our fields. So what we came up with, there's no yield advantage or disadvantage to rolling out to V3. We definitely do not recommend that they go out to V3. We don't like when the plant's up at all. And then post-plant, we didn't really recommend that either because the potential for sealing the soil and having some trouble that way. So we kind of like them going pre-plant, and that way the planter also breaks up anything that, you know, that they made too smooth and may have crusted. So we also recommend that when it's cloudy or cool or late in the afternoon, or when it's really warm and sunny outside, later in the afternoon is when we prefer they roll so that the plants are less turgid. If it's cool and cloudy, they snap a little bit easier. No-till conditions. Now, when I was in the one plot and they have 45% residue, and they did really well in that, and they were protected from that residue, I was like, wow, this would be great for no-till. And what I found out in no-till is that the plants, and it's drilled, so the trash whippers couldn't clear away all the residue, is these plants are trying to come around, and this is observational, so don't quote me on this one. They would be coming around the residue, so they're like this when the roller goes over them. And they seem to snap a little bit easier than when they're straight up. And they had less strength that way, and they did seem a little spindlier trying to get up. Never came to yield, though. Wet soil conditions at rolling, if they're scraping the mud off the roller, we say you really shouldn't be out there. But if it's really dry, you kind of crumble the soil structure on the surface. But if it's wet, it kind of sticks it. We got to look at the erosion potential of both of those. And the rolling direction, whether with the row or perpendicular, we say to stay with the roll or with the row, because the planter can leave little ridges for it to kind of balance on, and that it's not as destructive that way. And still pushes down the rocks and breaks up the corn root balls. You have any questions?
So did you take a look at different types of rolling methods, whether it's the Brilliant or whether it's the, because I could imagine the Brilliant would be much more destructive than the roller.
It depends where those little notches hit. The Flexicoil Packer, it has a really sharp edge to it, and so about every 6 or 7 inches it was slicing the plant. And whether it caught a leaf or the whole stem is, it, you know, depending where it hit. The smooth roller rolls everything. Everything goes over. The Brilliant left a nice pattern in the soil, but we never really saw increased injury. The reason why I combined all that data is because we did not see differences between any of the rollers on the measurements that we made. Otherwise, I would have said, oh, and this one did something funny. But what I do want to look at is the erosion potential when you have something as smooth as a pancake versus something that leaves a pattern on the ground, and different residue levels, too. Any others?
Did you look at all the surface compaction or any type of root restrictions or anything like that?
No, it's so minor how much it goes into the soil. I mean, It goes maybe an inch, not even two, into the soil. And when I step on it after the roller goes by, the PSI of me is a little bit higher than the roller because I can make a footprint anywhere that roller's gone. So it really is not going as deep as I thought.
So did you play around with no-tilling after rolling after no-till beans?
We had one plot like that, and then there was a farmer who came up to me and said, I've done some, you know, like five passes of the rolling in no-till, and his emergence was higher where he had rolled and not rolled. Problem is we couldn't get yield off of it because we had a really, really wet fall, and he had to go at a diagonal to pick them all up. So but the no-till plot that I had this year, no yield difference in anything either. The field was very uniform as it was growing, and like I said, that residue just kind of gets in the way a little bit with plant strength. The most damaging thing we saw out there was wheel traffic from the roller. You know, the tractor that you took out there did a lot more damage than the roller ever did.
Okay.